You better come on in my kitchen. There's hard to be raining her door.
Come over here, kid. Why so? You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of water. You fry some garlic.
It's
and you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick.
And
you gotta do a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. And a little bit of wine. And a little bit of sugar.
Delicious.
And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce. Potatoes,
yeah. I eat with gusto, damn your bet, my country, tis of thee. I eat for social progress, I eat for victory.
Delicious.
Stay hungry, stay hungry, stay hungry.
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the One Country's Most Delicious Hour. Happy May Day. I hope you've had a wonderful day. I started up my day very early at the Sebastopol Farmers Market, actually before it opened, and then was down in Marin County for a hula performance this afternoon. So it was a very lovely way for me to welcome the month of May, and hope maybe you had a chance to get to one of the great plant sales, up to, especially at an Occidental Arts and Ecology Center. If you didn't, there's the last chance sale taking place next weekend. If you're tuning in to hear Condra Easley and Deb Morris from Patisserie Angelica, I am so sorry. I'm afraid we're going to have to reschedule them, but we will be doing that sometime in the month of May. Definitely. So I apologize for that. There's a last minute change. What we're going to do instead this evening is we're going to hear a show that was recorded about 12 and a half months ago with Ann Fisher Silva, a nutritionist in Petaluma. She is also the head of the local chapter of the Weston A. Price Foundation. She was here in the studio, and by phone, we had Sally Fallon, who is the founder and current president of the Weston A. Price. There was a conference down, I think in Palo Alto, somewhere down near there this weekend, on nutrition, and that got me thinking about Ann Fisher's great work and Sally Fallon's as well. But also, Ann will be a guest on Mouthfuls, not next Sunday, but possibly the following Sunday. And she's teaching a number of classes with a real focus on things to do, fermented foods. And she talks about them in this interview we do. So we're just going to go right to that right now. I promise we will have the girls from Patisserie Angelica in very, very soon. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll talk to you next week. Good evening, and welcome to Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour. How are you doing this evening? Did you make it to a farmer's market this weekend? I went to the Sebastopol Farmers Market today. There were, there must have been 8 or 10 vendors. Absolute troopers. And I figure if they're out there in the rain, so am I. Came home with some really good stuff, too. Anyway, welcome. Thanks for tuning in. We have a great show tonight. It's a show I have wanted, I've wanted for years, and finally things came together, and I made myself do it. On that note, I want to introduce Sally Fallon, founding president of the Weston A. Price Foundation and co-author, along with Mary Enig, of Nourishing Traditions, the cookbook that challenges politically correct nutrition and the diet dictocrats. Sally, welcome to Mouthful.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me.
You bet. We should say you are talking from Washington, D.C.?
That's right, yes.
And you have a cold. I hope it's a short-lived one.
I would never admit I have a cold.
Okay, you don't. You have allergies. They're really bad this year.
I've just had a long weekend. Let's put it like that.
Okay. We also have here in the studio with us your colleague, Ann Fisher Silva, the head of the local chapter of the Weston A. Price Foundation and a clinical nutritionist. Thanks for being here, Ann.
Thanks so much for having me, Michelle. Hi, Sally.
Hi, Anne.
Well, I want to start first by saying that it seems to me that Weston A. Price Foundation is getting more and more press and just coming up more and more in conversations since I interviewed you, I guess it was about 6 weeks ago, for that article. At least half a dozen people who've not previously mentioned the foundation have. I've just noticed it coming up in various places. So I'd like to start with you telling us about the foundation and what it is.
Well, the foundation is a nonprofit foundation. We're an educational organization, and we were founded to provide accurate information about nutrition. We felt that we needed an organization that had no ties with the food industry, no ties with any government agency, so that we could say the truth about nutrition. Mary Ennig and I were the founders, and we were particularly concerned about the misinformation going out there as it applied to diets for children. Children need good, high-fat, high-cholesterol diets to develop normally, and we're seeing the tragic results of the low-fat message in our children today. So we were founded in 1999, and we have now over 400 local chapters, and Anne is our local chapter in Santa Rosa. We have a number of them in California, and the local chapters do a lot of things, but the main one is keep a resource list. So when people are looking for the types of food that we recommend, which ranges from grass-fed meats and eggs to raw milk, they would call their local chapter, and the local chapter would provide them with a resource list.
When you talk about the problems of low-fat diet in children, could you elaborate on that just a little bit?
Well, children need, first of all, a lot of cholesterol for growth and development. Mother's milk is extremely rich in cholesterol, and it has a special enzyme to help the infant absorb all that cholesterol. The baby needs cholesterol for the development of the brain and the second brain, which is the stomach, the gut, and the intestinal tract. And what we're seeing today is connections not being formed in the brain and all sorts of leaky guts and digestive problems in our children. And this is largely because the children are not getting these very rich foods as they grow. And these foods are needed, you know, right through growth, and this is up to 18, even 21 years of age. And then they're needed for other reasons. But we also try to clear the air and provide accurate information about fats and oils and teach people that saturated fats that we find in butter and lard and meat fats and coconut oil are not villains. They are very important components of the diet.
When we were talking before, you mentioned when things started, that you can trace it back to, if I remember correctly, 1913 and the efforts of Crisco?
Yes, Crisco was developed by Procter & Gamble. Is that correct? Yes. And they developed this product out of cottonseed oil. So it was developed out of a waste product, really, which is cottonseeds. And to market it, they published a Crisco cookbook, and in which they said that women who use Crisco instead of lard were more modern, their houses would smell better, they were just more with it, and their children would have better characters if they used Crisco instead of lard. And this was very subtle and very, very effective, and it's the kind of misinformation and appeal to the wrong things that's been going on for decades.
Yeah, they started first in the South, right, getting lard out of the kitchens in the South?
Right. The South was a big target. First of all, that's where the cottonseed oil came from. And secondly, they used a lot of fats in frying. Mm-hmm. The other target was the Jewish community. And this is my co-author and our founder, Mary Ennig, is Jewish. And she was just incensed that they had targeted the Jewish community, you know, because they said you can use this for kosher cooking. You don't have to worry about whether you mix this with meat or cheese or what. And she believes that it's one of the main sources of some of these real important health or serious health problems that you find in the Jewish community.
And then things picked up steam, it seemed, in the, what was it, the 60s and the 70s, with starting to turn, you know, people against saturated fats.
Right. After the Second World War, they actually built a number of factories to hydrogenate vegetable oils, like corn oil, during the Second World War, with the thought that these things could be used for gasoline. And when the war was over, they didn't need them for gasoline.
So, might as well feed them to people, huh?
Yeah, why not just feed them to people? And even the very early research showed that these things were just awful, that they did not support life. They caused cancer. They caused heart disease. But the industry just barreled ahead. And it's a very powerful lobby that works behind the scenes to change people's perceptions about things.
And so how did Weston Price coincide with your efforts? Weston Price, he was a dentist working in the 20s and 30s?
Yeah, he died in 1948. So he saw this coming on and predicted, you know, an epidemic of health problems as people switch from animal fats to vegetable oils and partially hydrogenated vegetable oils. And he traveled all over the world looking at healthy traditional peoples, and one of the things he noted was the emphasis on the rich and high cholesterol, high fat portions of the animal. People ate the organ meats, the livers, the liver oils. They ate the fat of the animals. And, you know, this is what's gone away. People are afraid of these foods now.
Yeah, they're hugely afraid all the time. Even people that you think are fairly sophisticated, it seems that this idea, and I really want to Anne to come in here as well as you want, Anne, that myth that saturated fat is really bad for you, and if you have like even a tiny bit of butter, at best it's a guilty pleasure. So do you see from your vantage point with the foundation that pendulum swinging very much at all? And you, Anne, let's see what you have to say.
I definitely do. In January, in the American Journal for Clinical Nutrition, there was a meta-analysis study that came out.
It is Sunday night at 7:12, May 1st, here on KRCB Radio. We did have some technical difficulties getting Mouthful live on the air, but we have resolved those difficulties. So the good news is that our originally scheduled program is going to broadcast right now with Condra Easley. She's a baker in Sebastopol, and Michelle Anna Jordan is live here in the KRCB studios. So, Michelle, back to your show.
Thanks so much. It was a little technical glitch. I won't even bother to explain it. But if you were sitting on the edge of your seat saying, wait, I wanted to hear Sally Fallon's answer, we will rebroadcast this entire show next Sunday. So don't worry. It'll be a nice prelude to Ann Fisher Silva's upcoming visit. So sorry about that little confusion. And Condra, welcome.
Hey.
I'm okay. A little,
you
know, yes, yes, a little bit of adrenaline. Happy May Day.
Yes, thank you.
So we should say right away, Patisserie Angelica, the sweetest little bakery in Sonoma County, founded, I don't know what year, but in Santa Rosa. 1995, in a place that had no parking in front of it, or maybe
That's
two
right.
spaces, something like that. But now in...
We had to fight over it.
Yeah. But now in Sebastopol... they're like so close to the Laguna, you can smell it.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you'd want to smell a Laguna, but you definitely want to smell what we have going.
That's right. Right by the theater, we should say, right by the Sebastopol Cinemas.
But if there's a really good movie showing, then we don't have, there's no parking again.
Right, of course. So what's going on? You've got, I know you must be working on Mother's Day stuff.
We are. It's been pretty crazy.
Already, so people call up and order things?
Well, it's more, we're doing Mother's Day tea.
That's right.
And, you know, I don't think people really think about getting their mom a cake.
I wouldn't, yeah, but it's,
you know,
the
usually
tea.
Usually you take them to brunch, but the tea, we've sold out for 3 days.
Really?
So,
you're
yep,
sold out?
Friday,
so
Saturday,
I'm not even
going to,
then I won't write about it next Friday, I guess.
No. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So we're really happy. There's a great article in the PD about the teas. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you support us with the teas. And
oh, yeah, I love it.
So maybe people will hop in and get a little something for mom.
Tell us about, even though, you know, nobody can make a reservation now. But you do have tea other than just on holidays. So why don't you tell us what your tea consists of?
Every Friday and Saturday from 11 until 4, we do what we call a West County high tea because it's really not a proper high tea. Mm-hmm. It's more an afternoon tea.
Well, afternoon tea is the proper tea.
Well, we don't start at 4 o'clock, though.
That's true. That's
so
true, yes.
But what we do is we have the cute little crustless sandwiches that we do. We have some savory items. I do a vegetarian quiche. We've got a Parmesan pepper puff. And then we have, of course, our current cream scones. And then we make all the little accoutrements. We do a Meyer lemon curd, organic Meyer lemon curd, our own house-made raspberry preserves. And then we make it's not Devonshire cream, it's Sonomashire cream because it's not coming from,
right,
you know,
Devonshire.
Yeah. So, and then we also have a nice array of petit four and then their choice of tea.
Mm-hmm.
And most of our teas come from Mariage Frere in Paris.
Oh, okay. Great place.
And so I learned, I was in training in Paris 25 years ago. Hard to believe since I'm only 36, right?
You started young.
But that's where I learned about the Mariage Frere, and I just love them. And it's so appropriate for pastries. A lot of them are flavored. I know you're a tea purist.
That's okay. Not everyone is.
Yeah. But, you know, it's definitely not your Lipton tea.
They're very good teas.
Yes. And so for me, it's really important when you smell a tea that it tastes like it smells. And so, unfortunately, I have to go to Paris and try them all out.
There you go. Now, do you brew in a teapot? Do you brew in like a king, what is it, Arthur something? Where are their teapots, those beautiful ones?
No, we have porcelain
Arthur
pots.
Arthur Wood, I think it is.
We have porcelain pots that we brew in. And then we have a collection of really nice bone china. And we have, most of it came from our grandmother.
Really?
When we first started.
Did you say you run the business with your sister?
Yes. Uh-huh. And so those have mostly been broken. We might have a cup and a saucer.
Mm-hmm.
But then we started calling from our aunts, and now we have customers that bring in, saucers.
I was just thinking I have some I should bring to you.
There you go. Because they go quickly. You know, it's really nice when it's in a fine bone china because the cups are real dainty.
Yeah.
And we really don't like those going outside onto the porch, but you can't serve tea in a paper cup.
No, you can't. And
no.
You shouldn't serve it in a coffee cup.
No. Or a mug. Yeah, only at home.
At home, yes. Uh-huh. I have my start my day with my 12-ounce mug of tea every morning.
But what's so great about the teas is it's time to just sit. The cell phones are off. There's no texting. And I don't see any of that in the shop. People are totally engaged with one another, chatting, catching up. So lots of girlfriend teas, mothers and daughters, grandmothers, and bringing their granddaughters in. Mm-hmm. And we get a few guys in.
Yes,
come with their wives.
Bring in grandsons?
No, but I did invite you in.
Oh, well, I've taken Lucas to tea. I've taken Lucas to tea quite a lot. I used to take him to tea at Infusions when Mickey had the shop.
Uh-huh.
He loves tea. He's been making tea since he was a year and a half at my house. And he loved going there and hanging out with Mickey's kids. But he loved having tea and what is it, ochazuke, that Japanese, I think it's rice and some shredded vegetables and seaweed. And then you pour green tea over it. It's great.
And he liked that at 1 year old?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's 1 year old?
He's just that kind of kid.
Yes,
he's got a palate and he's got an enthusiastic interest in food. But we have tea parties, we did. He's 9 and a half.
Yeah.
He's not into tea parties anymore.
No. Uh-huh.
But he would still go out to tea with me.
Uh-huh.
So you're booked for all 3 days.
Yes.
Okay, that's great.
But then again, we'll start again.
Yeah, you start again the next weekend.
Uh-huh,
and exactly. It's Friday and Saturday.
Friday and Saturday. Now, if someone has a larger party of 10 or more, we can accommodate on days we aren't open.
Oh, okay. So you'll do a special tea.
Yes.
That's really nice. That's a nice thing to do.
Yeah.
You have a friend visiting, somebody has a birthday, instead of, you know, a baby shower or bachelorette party. Have tea.
We've had bridal teas, not bachelorette parties. But,
bridal teas. That's the right way. I said instead of a bachelorette party.
You'd have to make some interesting little petit for that. But not going there.
Yeah. We won't do that.
No, and baby showers, birthdays.
Yes. So speaking of brides and all that.
Yes.
You do a lot of wedding cakes, and you've been on some TV shows recently.
Yes.
Tell me.
This didn't have anything to do with wedding cakes, but we were on the Cooking Channel.
Uh-huh.
That's a sister network of
Food Network.
Food Network. And we were on Food Crafters.
Oh, okay.
So for me, that was really, really important. More so than like the cake shows and challenges and all of that, because it's a real show about real artists and producers that are hands-on in the business, that are doing everything scratch. You know, there might be some mechanization of some kind. They've had like natural soda bottlers. They had organic miso. But it's just really involved people. So they came and filmed, and we were on an episode of that. So that was really fun.
Uh-huh. What did you do?
Oh, I did our ultimate chocolate cake.
And you'll describe that, won't you?
I will. It's a chocolate chiffon cake, and then we make this really luscious chocolate fudge. And I always say it's like you wish the chocolate fudge you wish your mother used to make, but it's just really rich and creamy. And so we had a fabulous cameraman, and he was, you'd see this big smile on his face when you knew he got a fabulous shot.
Oh, that's so nice when we have someone who works with you in that way.
And they had some funny little camera that they could put in the bowl, and so then I would either pour chocolate in and it would pour right over that.
Wow.
Yeah, or sift flour and it would sift right over it. So it was some kind of crazy little camera.
Wow.
But, they made the whole process look pretty magical, which when you break it all down, it is very magical. But, you know, when you're in a setting where you're making stuff every single day, you kind of forget that magic sometimes.
Sure.
So when we watched it, we were, oh, God, doesn't that look good?
And, oh, great.
Uh-huh. And so we ended up getting over 2,000 hits on our website the first night that it aired.
Wow.
But sales-wise, you know, we shipped this one mail order and through Let Them Mail Cake. But the shipping, we have to ship next day air and saver. And right there, you know, that's more expensive than the cake.
Yeah.
So for someone who's really jonesing for it, they can do it. And during the winter, we can send second day air. But right now, when we're up in the 80s, we'd have to send 12 straws with it.
Yeah. So what is involved in shipping? You know, what do you do to stop the cake from like bouncing around so much that it's destroyed?
Well, without giving away any of my proprietary, we ship frozen. And it's been just a trial and error.
Uh-huh.
You've really got to pack it well, involving we use wraps around it. We use a foam wrap.
Mm-hmm.
And then we use a collar. And then we use bubble wrap, and then we use shrink wrap. Mm-hmm. So if you shake the box, you don't hear anything moving around.
Uh-huh.
And then freezer packs.
And then freezer packs.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and unless someone sits, you know, leaves it on their door all day, there normally aren't any problems. But it gets to ride around in a hot UPS truck for a while before it finally makes it to the UPS hub.
Yeah, right. But that's interesting. So you ship frozen, and so it's probably just... like it's just out of the refrigerator by the time you get it.
Exactly. And people are a little fearful of the F word.
Sure.
A frozen product. But what they don't understand is in a commercial freezer, it's under 0 degrees. So it's not like your home freezer.
Right.
Where, well, you know what tortillas taste like after 2 weeks in the freezer.
Yeah. Everything not real
tastes,
good.
No, everything tastes like freezer burn. So it's a totally different story. It's not like it's flash frozen, but it's definitely frozen solid. And it honestly does not affect the texture or the taste.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. So we're going to take a little musical interlude here on Mouthful. We're talking with Condra Eastley, and we'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
It's a Mouthful, the Wine Country's sweetest hour, certainly tonight. So let's talk about cake futures.
Yes.
This is a new thing. It's going to be happening soon.
It's a new thing. We are doing a benefit and product launch June 2nd at Soda Rock Winery. And it's funny because...
It's a Thursday night, right?
Thursday night.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's before the big wine auction.
Right.
So this is a good start for it. But what it is, it's a benefit for Patisserie Angelica, which I know is a little unusual. Well, we always joke that we're a nonprofit. We just don't have the status.
Right, yes.
Which I think, most businesses, especially now, are feeling.
Yeah.
But we have so many projects that we want to be doing that require working capital.
Sure.
And just because of the product we do, we aren't a bottom line bakery, and it's just not something where you always have a lot of money hanging around. So we've got some projects in the works.
Anything you can tell us about?
Yes.
Cool.
The cake clubs. We have two cake clubs that we're going to launch that night.
Oh.
And one is a cake of the month club and then a holiday cake club. So the cake of the month will be, you've got a 3-month, a 6-month, or a 12-month.
Mm-hmm.
And so each, if you do the 12-month, then each month you get some fabulous dessert. You'll never get the same dessert. Sometimes it'll be chocolate, sometimes non-chocolate. Who knows, it may be dessert sauces one time.
Mm-hmm.
So things aren't always that expensive. The pricing will include the shipping.
Mm-hmm.
That is, if you want to do it that way. So that makes a really great gift for somebody.
Yeah.
That one, what am I going to do for this person
sure.
who loves chocolate?
Yeah.
But then we'll also have that for our locals, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't tell you how many times people come in and say, I forgot to get a cake.
Oh, yeah.
So this is going to, this will be the reminder thing.
Uh-huh.
So then the holiday club, you will get to select which holidays you want to be doing.
Oh, and then you just get a dessert for
uh-huh.
the holidays.
Yes. Uh-huh. So
oh,
we have our
idea.
Specialty items. So it'll be different, the online items that we'll be mailing out and the things that you can come and pick up.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously when we do the Bûche de Noël, that's not something that you can hop in a box and off it goes.
Yeah.
So we just... Once this all started, we were going, oh, we can't really do a benefit for us. And then we start hearing of other things. And we've given to the community for 16 years. And, anything that comes along, we're, oh, yeah, sure, we'll
You're
do something.
You're always contributing.
And, always, always, always. And, it's like, okay, I think it's time for, let's do something.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just been so amazing, so heartwarming, so humbling how many of our friends that are in the business have just said, what do you want me to do?
Mm-hmm.
Just
Absolutely.
Tell me.
Absolutely. Great.
So it's going to consist of a live auction, a silent auction, and then a raffle. But what's really fun is going to be, it'll be the live auction where we're doing really unique culinary experiences.
Uh-huh.
Anybody can go and get a gift certificate somewhere.
Sure.
But what we're doing is we're packaging some really fun things. And Mateo uh-huh. from Yucatan Tamales is uh-huh. going to do a cooking class.
Oh, great.
At our place.
Mm-hmm.
And then our friends at the Farmhouse Inn are packaging something. They've got something up their sleeve.
Cool.
I'm not sure what it's going to be.
Oh, they're wonderful.
Maybe a winemaker dinner or something like that. They're working on
I'll do
on
something
that.
For you.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll think of something.
All right. Good. Let's see. What else do we have? Well, and the food's going to be great, too. But I'm going to be auctioning myself off for different things. And everyone always wants cooking classes. But, at the end of the day or on a Sunday, I don't want to do cooking classes. But we're going to be doing some. I've hooked up with Arista Winery. And I love their wines. They're in Healdsburg.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're going to do is and we've done it before, but mm-hmm. we haven't done it privately. So it's going to be a private tasting for 10 people where it'll be a wine and chocolate tasting.
Oh.
Where we will, and not just any kind of chocolate, I formulated some tasting medallions for them that work specifically with their wines.
Oh, uh-huh.
And so that will happen. And then also I'm going to do, this one's going to be really fun, it's a farmer's market baking class.
Oh.
On a Sunday, we go over to the farmer's market,
uh-huh.
we select what we're going to use, and then we'll do a baking class, probably some quiches with vegetables.
Uh-huh.
Because
what a great idea.
I can do savory too.
Yes, and you'll get your eggs at the market.
We'll get the whole, as much as we can.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then also fruits to do fruit tarts. And, uh-huh. So that will be a really, I think that one should be an exciting one. Mm-hmm. So we did an event the other night, another donation, surprise, mm-hmm. surprise. And we saw an old friend of ours, Joelle Fisher, who owns Fisher Vineyards in St. Helena. And she said, I want to do something. So they're going to do a luncheon, and then we'll also do some kind of a chocolate tasting with them.
Oh, great.
So that'll be really fabulous. Uh-huh. And then as far as food, of course, food.
Sure.
We've got Bruce Reisman from mm-hmm. Park Ave.
Sure.
And not many people know about Grapevine Catering, but they are fabulous. And
I do know about them.
They are really, really good.
In fact, I just came. They were mentioned for something I was writing about.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember exactly what it was.
You know, a lot of people say, oh, we use local and sustainable, all that, you know, where they aren't.
Yeah, that means they bought it at the local Costco.
Yeah, yeah. So, this is somebody who really does it. His mm-hmm. his food is just incredible. And he's just launching a line of sauces and relishes and all kinds of things mm-hmm. that he will have there as well. And Kyoto from Rohnert Park. You familiar with Kyoto?
I am.
It's a Japanese restaurant.
Yes.
We have known Annie for 16 years, the owner. We mm-hmm. met her when we first moved here when she was working at a Chinese restaurant. And then Rosso,
yeah.
They're going to be there. And then we're going to partner for Olive Oil and Redwood Hill Farm.
Oh, great.
So they're going to be doing cheese, and then they're going to be there serving as well.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, lots going on. Now, the pièce de résistance at the end of the live auction will open up the doors to the chocolate room. And the way Soda Rock is set up, they've got a little room. Well, hopefully it's not too little, but we're going to have the groaning sideboard of chocolate desserts.
Oh.
Yes, so truffle towers and chocolate macaron and just everything. So the groaning sideboard of epic proportions is what I say.
Oh, that's great. How much did, first of all, how many people will the facility hold? How many tickets?
They can hold 300.
Excellent. And uh-huh. what's it going to cost to go?
$65 to get in. Mm-hmm. And that includes all the food. Mm-hmm. It includes wines from Wilson Artisan Wines.
Mm-hmm.
So they have five different wineries. Soda Rock yeah. is just one of them.
Uh-huh.
And, Jack's and Matrix. So they've got quite a
yeah.
few. So they'll have wines from there. So, we can pack a few people in there.
Good.
The more the merrier.
Mm-hmm. Is there going to be music?
I don't know about music.
Okay. Just checking.
I wanted to do this fun French band. Mm-hmm. But, since it's a benefit, if you start paying for a band and you pay for this, you pay for that, then all of a sudden, oh, great, we have $3.
Yeah, absolutely. Should get Odile Laveau to come up and play.
Oh, who's that?
She's her band is the Baguette Quartet.
Oh, I've heard of her.
It costs more to get the whole band. Uh-huh. But when I was doing the Sonoma Provence Exchange and the Grand Aeoli every year, she would come up, and she's got that old style French cafe singer voice.
Mm-hmm.
And she plays accordion, and she dresses just like so wonderfully for food events.
Uh-huh.
I mean, she came of course with a great cloche, and she had this white dress with heads of garlic made out of fabric hanging from her dress. She's really great, and for events like that, she's pretty. She was pretty inexpensive.
Uh-huh.
Last time I talked to her.
Okay, we'll see. So yeah,
a wandering French accordion player is the perfect thing for.
No kidding. So we need something like that. We still have to find an auctioneer. So otherwise, we're pretty well set with things.
Okay, great. Well, we're going to take one more little musical break, and we'll be back with more talk about Patisserie Angelica.
Said hello and loneliness said goodbye then. It made me so glad that I almost had to cry then. I never believed in love at first sight, but when you held me tight that night, I knew with you it was a lie. Now, said oh my, what a sweet thing that was. So
Her lips were warm and tender. I wanted your kiss, I couldn't resist. Surrender.
Yes, lots of sweet things at Patisserie and Jaca, and you just presented a little box. Mm-hmm. Oh, look at that. What is that?
That's called a Parisian.
Oh, this is the Parisian.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
You said you liked buttercream.
I love buttercream.
You weren't a real sweets person, but...
No, I have a very small sweet tooth. Small
for caramel.
And precise. I love caramel. Mm-hmm. I love vanilla. I really love vanilla. Vanilla, butterscotch caramel, that whole realm, if it's the proper texture.
Yes, oh, of course.
Yes, it has to be the proper. You know, like I grew up disliking whipped cream. Except one time for a Halloween dinner party, I made whipped cream with salt and cayenne.
Well, that's interesting.
And put it over these really rich mashed potatoes and then browned it under a really hot broiler. Now, that whipped cream was okay. But I don't like that. I don't like sweet whipped cream. It just, you know, something probably happened to me when I was really, really little and I don't remember it. And it just killed my sweet tooth.
It'll come back to you.
Mm. Yeah. Well, this
is some horrible flashback or something.
So tell us about the Parisian.
That there's three layers of an, it's like a rustic French macaron.
Mm-hmm.
So the same thing, but it's rustic because it's not made with an almond flour. It's made with ground almonds.
Oh.
And then there's a lightened, well, this is an oxymoron, but there's a lightened praline buttercream inside.
Ooh, I'm going to save this for my dessert tonight.
But it's one of those things where, it's just eye rolling.
It's beautiful. It smells really nice. It has a really delicate, slightly toasted aroma.
Are you always on the search for the perfect caramel?
Always.
Yeah, me too.
Always. One that came close was the one that, I'll think of her name in a second, Jenny Maliki, Mark Maliki's now ex-wife, made when Mark first had Cafe St. Rose in Santa Rosa and then moved out
on
to...
On the little place where he was cooking out of crock pots?
Yes. And then he moved out to what had been the Raven Cafe. Jenny made the best caramels I've tasted. And she stirred it for something like 4 hours, and then each one was wrapped in a piece of wax paper that she hand-rolled, and he was selling them.
For $500 a piece.
No, it was remarkably, it was $10 for half a pound.
Wow.
And they're the best ones I've tasted yet. Uh-huh. And then I got a salted caramel from someone, not the ones that you can, you know, buy, you know, the impulse purchases when you're checking out of the grocery store. Uh-huh. Not that one, but it was a handmade salted caramel. That was really good. So what have you found it for the best caramel?
I'm looking. In a pinch, I'll do Franz.
Mm-hmm.
But, still, I liked Veronica's at Dolce V.
Oh, Veronica's were wonderful.
Yeah. I asked her the other day, I said, and how about giving me that caramel recipe? But no, she's not going to give that one up.
No, she's not.
Even though she's dealing with birds now and not chocolates. But, You know, some things aren't that easy. It's just like the French macaron. Those are not that easy to make.
What is it that makes them difficult?
The cookie mixing, mm-hmm. Using really high quality ingredients, mm-hmm. which sometimes people won't source out.
Mm-hmm.
And also just the cooking them to the right texture, because they still should be a little chewy.
Yes.
Firm on the outside.
They have to be chewy or they're not worth eating.
Yes. And then a lot of people use fakey ingredients in the middle. Oh. So, you know, you've got to use the real stuff.
The real thing,
because
like most people, you know, if you have a decent palate, you can tell when it's fake.
Uh-huh. Yep. Someone brought me some from a place in San Francisco. And everyone I bit into is like, ooh, no, that's fake. Why would you use a fake Grand Marnier?
Yeah. Uh-huh. This brings me to something I love talking to you about. We've only done it privately. But this whole issue of infusions.
Yes.
Some are so wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you're saying, I've tasted things and spit them out.
Yeah.
Discreetly, but spit them out because they just taste so wrong. So what is the secret? Like infused chocolates. Infused chocolates have gotten very popular.
Yes.
What are people doing wrong when they taste yucky?
I think a lot of people are using compounds and flavorings that you can buy rather than, you can buy vanilla compound. You can buy chocolate compounds. Like your dessert doesn't taste chocolatey enough. It's a paste that you put in.
So you're not actually working with chocolate. You're putting in a compound that somebody's already like put into an easy, like squeezing out toothpaste or something.
You could put that in your buttercream and you could have, a pistachio buttercream. And so, you know, that is really prolific out there. But yes, we did talk about infusions. And one thing that I learned in France was cold infusions.
Yeah, that's right. You were talking about cold infusions.
And some things that turn bitter are best to do a cold infusion. Mm-hmm. So that would be especially lavender. Because
lavender will taste like soap.
Yes, it's like sucking on a potpourri.
Yeah.
So that is really subtle when you do a cold infusion. Mm-hmm. Coffee.
The difference, if you brew coffee, even the right, like if you do it in a French press and taste it next to coffee that has been put in cold water and then strained and warmed, so different.
Yes.
Same with tea. You make sun tea. Sun tea is, even if you've made brewed tea and sun tea out of the same exact teas, there's something so subtle.
Yeah.
And gentle in the cold infusions.
Definitely. So it's, it's really the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Vanilla, you can do either way.
Uh-huh.
But mini teas, you know how a lot of people like to use Earl Grey or that's really popular.
Yeah.
That's one that definitely will be enhanced with a cold infusion. It's just really sublime then. You get that where you just, where it's a little discovery instead of hit you over the head with it. And that's really what we're about. We don't over
subtle and sophisticated and
over flavor and lots of booze and all of that. Where it really just kind of develops in your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So we aren't gobbling food.
And you appreciate it more, I think, when it's more subtle.
Yeah, I like seeing the eye rolling that goes on when someone takes a bite and just goes, oh. Oh, the funny thing, back to the food crafters that we did, I sent a cake along to them because they needed their hostess to try it. And so she could do the prelude because she didn't end up coming.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I emailed them to find out, I said, how did it go? And she said, it was like a soundtrack to a porn movie.
That's pretty cute.
That tells you right there.
Did you send the same cake that you were then going to make?
Okay. Yeah, the ultimate chocolate cake.
That's really funny. Now, we should say one thing if somebody hasn't discovered you, they should. But you had a retail location that was open 5 or 6 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
That changed. But now by popular demand, you had to go back to a little bit of retail.
Yeah.
So tell us.
Well, we are very good at going with the flow, and we always try and find things that a good balance of working for us and working for our customers. And we aren't a 7-Eleven where we're going to be open all the time. We just can't do it. It's an artisan bakery, and when you put this much into it, you get tired.
Mm-hmm.
So my sister and I are really involved in the bakery. And at one point we just said, okay, that's it. I can't do it anymore. Let's just close. Well, then that didn't work because all of a sudden you aren't having the impulse buys and, oh, well, I can't get my...
And you meant close the retail.
Close the retail, yes. Right. And we ended up being open for a week for Valentine's Day. And everyone was just, oh, we're so happy you're open for this week. Can't you just do something? Can't you just be open on the weekends? And we, that's a really good idea. We could be open on the weekends. So Friday and Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's great.
11 to 4? 11 to 5?
No, 10 to 5.
Oh, 10 to 5. Okay.
So we're really, really focused concentration on those 2 days. We're at the farmer's market on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, to pay someone to stand around during the week, it's tough and it's really hard to do.
Sure.
So we've just gotten really good at, well, let's try this and let's try that.
Mm-hmm.
It gets a little confusing for people because we still have people saying, I thought you were closed.
Yeah.
But we've been open for the 2 days now for maybe a year and a half.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Now, and what can people get when they just walking in? Let's tell them lineup.
We've got a little selection of individually designed desserts. So we don't have slices of cake.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like a little French patisserie when you walk in. You know, you can get some chocolates. You can get...
You can get truffles and bonbons, right?
Yeah. Yes. Not all the time. During the holidays, you know, the chocolate holidays, I usually have more things. Cookies, brownies, you know, the basic staple
things. I think you should
start
a cookie CSA. I do. I think you should start a cookie CSA.
Gotta have it. Yes. Come and pick up every... But see, cookies you need fresh every day.
Yeah, but you just do it like once a month or something,
uh-huh.
or twice a month, and you sign up and you know. It's like, oh, tomorrow I get to go get my cookies.
Okay. I'll think about it. We talked about that, didn't we?
We did.
That would be good. And then you can sit down, you can have coffee, you can have tea. We've got our organic Meyer lemonade that we make, a raspberry lemonade.
Which is so good. Oh, I love that.
French hot chocolate. So you can come in, and so many people say, oh, I'm dieting. Well, you can come in and have a tea and a scone. That's not... No, that's not bad.
A fruit tart.
We can't sell fruit to save our life in there.
You can't?
People want chocolate. You know, when the fruit season
Your
is...
Your apple tarts are amazing.
Oh, the galettes? Yes.
Yes, apple galettes.
But fresh fruit tarts, it's... I don't know what it is. I mean, we'll be getting all this amazing organic fruit and put together, you know, a nice tart, and it'll sit there.
Oh, that's
I don't know if... I think a lot of people in Sebastopol bake...
Oh,
themselves.
Okay.
And, you know, fruit tart's probably something that's fairly easy to make, whereas the Parisienne is a little more difficult.
Okay. But the galettes, do you do any other galettes other than the apple?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
I was thinking about doing a Bing cherry.
Oh, that'd be great. And apricot during, like, the 2 weeks that we have them?
Yes. And then the stone fruits, some nectarines. So what's great about the farmer's market is we go around, we try, and then we'll buy from the market for
the
week.
Arctic Gem white peach galette.
White peaches are a little hard because they end up getting pretty sweet when they're baked.
Yeah, well, they're so sweet. But the Arctic Gem white peaches that Dry Creek peach and produce, they're the best. They've sort of ruined me. Those peaches are so good, and they have like this 2 week window. I wait for them, I eat a flat a week. And then I wait for the next year because they're just so incredibly good.
Oh, that was a horrible year when they were really low. Oh,
they called me and they said, we're at Whole Foods. We have a bag of white peaches for you. It's all there are this year.
So hopefully it'll be a good one this year for them.
Yes, and they grafted over a number of trees to Arctic Gems.
Oh, good.
There's just something about that particular little tiny microclimate and the Arctic Gem variety.
Isn't that amazing? People don't realize that.
Other people can grow Arctic Gems in other places, and they're not necessarily as magnificent as these particular ones.
One of my quintessential culinary experiences was sitting out on Gail's deck with her, having a glass of wine, and then we walked around in her orchard, and I picked a peach off the tree, and it was warm. And I can't tell you, that's just it.
Yes, I've done it too.
Uh-huh.
I've done it too, and so wonderful.
Yes.
She has her son, Patrick, who also wants to be an actor, and he and Lucas hit it off.
Oh.
So we've been up there a few times.
Yep.
And it's sort of like a scary chemistry between those two kids. Mm-hmm. You don't want to get in the way. So I want to go back now. We've got, just about 5 minutes left.
Okay.
I want to go back to the upcoming benefit, because we failed to tell people when they can buy tickets and how to buy tickets.
Oh, okay. So this is June 2nd. And
what time is it taking place?
5:30 until 8.
Okay.
So get there at 5:30 for the good food.
Sure.
You know, for the food and wine. You know, we've got a schedule to keep because we've got to get into that chocolate room by a certain time.
That's right.
And tickets are available online. And the online, do I even have that? I think I do. Is www.local.letthemmailcake.com.
Okay. So just local.letthemmailcake.com. I will put this on my Mouthful's Facebook page. I'll put this information.
And so if they order it online, then they'll get a printout. So that will be their receipt that they present. And then we will also have tickets available as soon as I find time to print them.
Print them, okay.
At the bakery.
Okay, great. Oh. And what is the address of the bakery?
6821 Laguna Parkway.
6821 Laguna Parkway. That's in Sebastopol.
Right next to the movie theater.
Yeah. And what's the phone number?
It's 827-7998.
827-7998.
Yes.
Okay. We've still got a few more minutes. So do you want to give away any secrets for what special things you might be doing for Mother's Day?
Well, I tell you what I really want to do, but I'm having a hard time finding strawberries. I want to do a strawberry Charlotte. And you know the guy who has the strawberries on Highway 12?
Mm-hmm.
Those are delicious strawberries. Mm-hmm. But every time I go there, he's out.
Can you talk to him?
He's funny that way.
Oh, is okay.
You know, if you want to buy a flat, he doesn't want to sell you a flat because other people can't have strawberries.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of weird.
You need to get a bunch of friends to just go and everybody buy a couple of baskets.
Well, you're still selling it at, you know, your retail price. But I understand, you know, if someone comes in and buys all our scones, then you're going, well, I have to hurry up.
Oh, I know a few times there's somebody today at the farmer's market. I thought she was going to buy all the lettuce. And I had gotten there like 10 minutes early before the market started. And she's taken, it's like, oh my God.
One head. I just saw that one is one head.
Uh-huh. Oh no, I wanted a lot.
But we have a circle cake that we're doing for Dina DeLuca. That's really a really fun, whimsical looking cake.
Oh, tell us about it. Describe
it's
that.
It's a lime cake, and then it has a key lime curd in it.
Ooh.
So it's really zesty and yummy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really light and refreshing, kind of pretending like it's summer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one. And, you know, sometimes people just get little individual desserts for Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we've tried doing, you know, little Mother's Day hats and things like that. But like I said, it's really not a big holiday
for cakes. Right.
Neither is Father's Day.
I was going to.
Unless we made Thai cakes or something. Or Stetson golf, cologne.
Golf ball shaped truffles.
Yeah, exactly.
You could flavor them with tobacco.
You know what? That might be kind of interesting because there are some chocolates that do have that.
And tobacco has gotten to be an ingredient.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's the famous, the tobacco granita that the French Laundry made for, Anthony Bourdain.
Oh.
Because they know, because he smokes.
Uh-huh.
And so to resonate with his palate, they made tobacco gelato for him.
You can take, speaking of infusions, you can take tobacco and put it in with white chocolate and just keep the two separate, but put it in a sealed container. Because I've done it with basil.
Uh-huh.
Or basil.
And it will flay. It will.
And it infuses into the chocolate, so you get that really subtle, sublime
interesting
flavor.
It's like if you put a truffle in a glass jar with a bunch of eggs, the truffle will flavor the eggs.
So it's never tried that.
Yeah, it works really well. During truffle season.
Okay.
Maybe put 5 eggs in and then a truffle.
Oh, I was thinking chocolate truffle, Michelle. I was going, why would you do that?
A real truffle, a live truffle, you know, in the winter. And put it in and leave it for like 3 days and then make French-style scrambled eggs with really good butter. Oh, it's absolute heaven. But of course you would think that.
Yeah, of course I would, yeah.
Yes.
Well, one-track mind.
As you should. Well, you know what? We're out of time.
Okay.
So June 2nd, $60 or
$65?
$65. I will be writing about this in my column, Mouthful. I will also put something on Mouthful's Facebook page. It's a really great thing. I wish you great success with
it. Thank you. Thanks so much.
Sorry for the technical glitch.
Got here.
You're here. We're happy. And next week, tune in for that entire interview with Ann Fisher Silva and Sally Fallon. And I will be live in the studio the week after that. It's Michelle and Jordan. Have a great week.
Mouthful is produced by Michelle Anna Jordan. It's engineered by Lawrence Alberti and Eric Black. For more information about Mouthful, email to catsmilk@sonic.net. That's catsmilk@sonic.net. You can also go to krcb.org and download podcasts of Mouthful, as well as from iTunes.
And the moral of this story, children, it is plain but true. God knows if a preacher preaches long enough, even he'll get hungry too. And he'll sing, to the Lord let praises be. It's time for dinner now, let's go. We got some beans and some good cornbread. Now listen to what the preacher says. To the Lord let praises be. It's time for dinner now, let's go. We got some beans and some good cornbread. Now listen to what the preacher says. Time for dinner now, let's go. We got some beans and some good cornbread. Now listen to what the preacher says.
To the Lord, let praise be.
Let it be.
It's time for dinner now, let's go.
We got some beans
and good cornbread.
Good cornbread.
Listen to what the preacher says.
To the Lord, praises be.
Praises